A very good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. I am Kip Stube in Maryland, broadcasting from my home.
And I'm Marvelous Mshanganyahuye. This Friday, April the 30th, 2021, at the last day of April, I'm broadcasting from my home in Washington, D.C. because of the COVID-19 pandemic. According to the Ministry of Health in Zimbabwe, as of 29 April 2021, which is yesterday, Zimbabwe had 38,235 confirmed cases of COVID-19, including 35,594 recoveries and 1,567 deaths. This is as of March last year when the pandemic started. And to date, a total of 400,771 people have been vaccinated against COVID-19.
And worldwide, Marvelous, according to Johns Hopkins University, there are over 150 million cases. And out of this number, almost 3.2 million people have succumbed to COVID-19. And when we look at people that have been inoculated for the second time in Zimbabwe, there are roughly about 76,820. So it seems as if, it's a low number compared to people that have been vaccinated for the first time. Yabambe Zulukanda Balinjani, Lapelikona, Enda Oni Zonke Zomhlaba SGNAO. Ye, Lamhlanga Yulife Toku Skangela, COVID-19. Sikanga lokunye ke okuchiyeneyo. Njalo silo mama uMalini Chiesa Katsirai owabanjwa lesifo se-cancer. So zathi ukuthi sikhulume la isizwe ukuthi uthini ngakhonokhu angasitshela khona. Kodwa ngase sikhangele ke okwethulwa ngabezempilakahle kwele Zimbabwe. Bathi sokula abantu abedlula 400,000 asebatholakale asebehlatshwe okokuqala amajekiseni okuvimba ukumemetheka kwe-COVID-19. Kwesoku sithi asebehlatshwe okwesibili bayi 76,820. Xa sikhangela njalo ke emhlabeni wonke jikelele, iJohns Hopkins University ibika ukuthi sokulabantu abafika phose 150 million asebebanjwe pelo COVID-19, kuthi ke abayi 3.2 million sebabhubha ngenxa yomkhuhlane lo. So siyakwazi ukuthi eZimbabwe sizokusedlula inani labantu abafika 1,567 asebabulawa COVID-19. Njalo ke kukhona okuningi okwenzakalayo. So Marvelous, we'll be having today Malini Chiesa Katsirai, who was diagnosed with cancer.
Yes, kune avo vachangobva kupinda muchirongwa chedu tinokuchingamidzai nhasi semusiwechishanu kudai. April 30 vari kupedzisira mumwedzi uno waApril. Apo nhasi tichange tiine gamo, tichange tichitarisa zviri kuitika munyika panyaya yedenda rechirwere checovid-19. Tichitaura zvakare nevamwe mumwe akatombonge achiuya ipo kustudio yedu yestudio 7 muzvare chiedza Malini Gadzira. Takakwanisa kunge tichisangana navo pavanga vari muno muAmerica, asi pavakazodzokera kuZimbabwe vakazowanikwa vachibatwa ivo nedenda recancer uyezve vachange vari kutsanangura kuti zvakafamba sei kuti vazoziva kuti vakange vabatwa nedenda irori. Tichange zvakare tichinzwa kubva kuna mumwe mukoti Ingrid Muhambi ari muno muAmerica ari kuNorth Carolina, uko akawanikwawo achibatwa nedenda recovid-19. Akazowanikwa iye achitora nhomba yecovid-19 achange ari kutsanangura iye kuti zvakafamba sei kuti azive kuti ane denda irori recovid-19, uyezve kuti paakatora nhomba idzi dzecovid-19 dziri muno, ari kuti iye akatora nhomba mbiri dzaakange apiwa kuNorth Carolina kwari ikoko kuti zvakafamba sei. Bazi rezveutano munyika yeZimbabwe vanotaura ivo kuti pane vanhu 38,235 vakabatwa nedenda iri recovid-19 pari zvino kubva denda iri ratanga muna March gore rapfuura. Uyezve pari zvino pane vanhu 35,594 vakabatwa nedenda iri recovid-19 vakawanikwa ivo vachiri kunda. Kwozouyawo vamwe vakabatwa nedenda recovid-19 vakawanikwa vachishaya vasvika pa 1,567 kubva March gore rapfuura. Pari zvino pane vanhu vabayiwa nhomba idzi dzecovid-19 munyika yeZimbabwe vanosvika ivo 400,771. Saka ndo zvimwe zvatichange tiri kutarisa tichitarisawo kuti zvakabuda iko kuno kuAmerica, uko takaona mutungamiri weAmerica vaJoe Biden vachitaura ivo kuti pari zvino kubvira vatora matomu mazuva zana apfuura kana kuti 100 days in office vawanikwa ivo pane vanhu 200 million vawanikwa ivo vachibaiwa nomba iyi COVID-19 saka ndokutaura kwavanga vari kuitawo uye zvee tichange tiri kungotarisa kuti zvii zvimwe zviri kuitika panguva ino yedenda recovid-19 ngatimboendai tinonzwa zviri kutaurwa izvo namuzvare Ingrid Muhambi vachitaura ivo pamusoro pekubatwa kwavakaitwa nechirwere checovid-19 vakazowanikwawo vachitora nhomba yecovid-19 so let's go to the video now of a nurse based here in North Carolina in the United States sharing in Shona about how she contracted COVID-19.
Indo inzwa Ingrid Muhambi. Ndinoshandira muno muAmerica ndiri registered nurse. Ndida kutsanangura kuti pandakarwara nayo COVID ndairwadziwa musoro, chipfuva, kungorwadziwa muviri wese. Zvokuti ndakati ndikapona handisi kuda kubva ndakanzwa kurwara kudaiwo so futi zvakare saka ndakaluza test ndakwanisa kudya chikafu kuti ndisi kuti chikafu chiri kunyatsotesta zvakadii ndasikakwanisi kufemeredza chikafu hazvisi kunhuwirira sezvamanhuwirira zvofanira kuita nanhasi ndichiri kutambura nenyaya yekuti zvinhu hazvisi kunyatsokunhuwirira kana kunhuwa hapana chandinonhuhwidza vaccine payakauya handina kurega kuenda ndakaenda nokuti ndozvati kurwadza kwacho chirwere checovid ndakaenda ndikanobayiwa jekiseni rekutanga ndakapuwa Pfizer vaccine rinopuwa kaviri saka ndakaenda pekutanga the first day muoko wangu ndowega waingorwadza hapana chimwe chakambonyanya kunetsa sirika kechipiri ndikana rechitura na 2 weeks later ndikanadzokera ndikanopuwa vaccine rechitwo ndakaita kungoita zvokungoita machills muviri vanangotora paracetamol ndovananorarama the next day hapana zvakanga zvatopera ndizvozvo nanhasi ndiri kunzwa musha hapana chimwe chiri kumbondinetsa chandinga chikabva kune COVID futi saka torai mavaccine kana manzi auya tatenda.
Aiwa apo tanga tiri kunzwa kubva kuna mukoti Ingrid Muhambi anova iye ari kunzvimbo yeNorth Carolina imo muno muAmerica achikurudzira kuti vanhu kana mawana mukana wekuti muende kunobayiwa nhomba yecovid-19 zvakakosha kuti muende kunobayiwa nekuti ndiyo inozoita kuti masoja anorwisa denda iri recovid-19 awanikwe iwo achikwanisa kurwisa denda iri kana munhu achinge abatwa nedenda recovid-19 aenderera mberi zvakare achitiye vanhu kutsinira kuti vanhu vanofanira kuramba vachiteedzera zviga zviye zvakatungwa neWorld Health Organization kuti vanhu pfekai mamaski vanhu musaitai social distancing uyezve kana uchihotsira uhotsire iwe uchihotsirira pasiri pamberi pevanhu Gibbs.
That's marvelous. We also have somebody who was diagnosed with cancer. And here we're talking about a young Zimbabwean woman who found herself actually battling with a rare form of cancer for somebody of her gender and age. And now she's a champion for her fellow citizens. So she goes in various places. And, you know, whenever somebody says he's got cancer and all those kind of things, she goes there to find out exactly how that person is surviving and, you know, all those kind of things. Her name is Marlene Chietza Katsirai. She's also a sports enthusiast, and these days she says she's doing all sorts of things, you know.
Yes.
She's engaged in many things, and she was actually feeding elephants one of these days, and, you know, what she's doing is amazing.
Yes.
You know, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Actually, she's a friend of Studio 7. You remember that she was here in the United States for a fellowship, and she actually had the occasion to visit Studio 7 on occasion. And I had the pleasure of speaking to her when Patson Zamara passed away, because Patson Zamara also had that same kind of cancer. And she said that, unfortunately, she was not able to really communicate with Patson, although she had sent him messages, you know, to try and find out what kind of cancer he had so that she could also be of help. But she said, you know, sometimes people are a bit personal about how they are suffering or what's going on. But she really shared about her journey and also what she is now doing to perhaps, you know, educate others. And then she also shared about how difficult it was at that time when COVID-19 started for her to be able to go into town to get some of her treatments, which she was still receiving when the COVID-19 pandemic started. So very encouraging young lady. And it would be really, you know, inspiring to hear her story here on Studio 7.
Yes, just listening to her story is very inspiring. And, you know, she said a lot of things. And let's just listen to the story and hear exactly what she said.
To be honest, for years, I was just self-diagnosing myself until I just was sort of comfortable, not necessarily comfortable, but then I resigned to the fact that, okay, so I suffer from chronic constipation. I need to eat foods that are rich in roughage. I need to up my iron intake. I need to drink a lot of water. So I didn't necessarily go and see a doctor about the issue. And I had a phobia for doctors, in as much as my mom is a nurse. But then growing up also, if there were injections that we were supposed to have, for example, when we were 12, 13 years, when in grade 7 in primary school, I refused to have the injection done at school. And I said, well, my mom is a nurse, she's going to inject me. And so it took her about an hour to actually, you know, get that injection. But so that's the person that I was. I do not want to go to hospitals. I do not want to visit doctors. I'll just, you know, type in something on the internet, get convinced, and then stay like that. So this was not over a month, kids. It was literally for years. I could say 4, 5, 6 years, and I was going through that. So, you know, it was like that until, for me, it became a normal. So I did not think much about it.
So then what happened? What really prompted you to visit the hospital or a doctor?
So in 2018 and into 2019, the constipation became worse. The pain was more intense. And so, you know, any normal person has sort of a bathroom routine where every morning maybe somebody, you know, uses the bathroom or every 2 days, you know, and I'm talking about number two here. But in my case, I would go maybe twice a month. You know, and for me, that felt normal because I think it because of the progression of the illness, everything that was happening for me was just, okay, so this is normal. So this is normal. And but then in 2018 into 2019, the pain was too much to the extent that I decided to start taking painkillers, over-the-counter painkillers. I didn't think much about it. So I started, you know, having painkillers. And then in 2019, in July, we had a work trip, so we went to Lusaka, Zambia, and I had the worst constipation ever, and to the extent that I had to call my friends or doctors to ask what I was supposed to do. I could not sleep, I could not sit, and when I would go to the bathroom, you know, nothing was coming out. So I was then given suppositories, you know, for constipation to push stool out. But then when I returned from Zambia, I remember I felt that I was not well. But then I continued taking painkillers on a regular. So it was no longer once a day, but it was now maybe twice, three times a day. Until the night, until a week or two before I then decided to go and see a doctor, I was in intense pain. So the young people from church took a trip to Kariba, and I was part of the trip. It was during a game drive that I felt like, no, something is really wrong, because now I could not actually sit properly. I couldn't stand still for more than 10 seconds. You know, it was just too much for me. And everybody knew, because I would just say, you know, guys, I'm in pain. I know this constipation is, you know, it's something else. But then sometimes I would joke about it. And then now the progression of the painkillers now, I was now taking painkillers every 30 minutes, every 15 minutes. So one night when I was home alone, the pain was too much. I took painkillers. And then the pain didn't go. And I was taking the type of painkillers that would need water to go down. But then, because of the way I was taking those painkillers, I didn't need water. I was taking them like candy even. So that night, after 15 minutes, the pain was still there. After another 10 minutes, the pain was still there. And I remember it was at midnight. And so I decided, you know, this is too much. I was bleeding. I'll try to go to the bathroom. Nothing was coming out. I could feel that I was constipated. I needed to let stool out, but nothing was coming out. And the next thing is, it was just blood all over. And so, because it was midnight, and because I was just thinking, oh, no, this is hemorrhoids or piles even, let me just go to a hospital and see if a doctor can examine me. So that's what then happened. I went to a local hospital, and they said, you know, please take a seat. We'll serve you in a moment. I said, you know what? I cannot sit. Even when I drove there, I was not driving with cushions all over me, just, you know, for a bit of comfort, because it was, I don't know how to explain the pain. So at that moment, they then called in a doctor. The doctor looked at me. He did his examination. And, you know, I said, you know, I can't go home because the pain here is too much. Can you just do something so that at least I sleep and then maybe you guys will do something tomorrow? Because now I realize I did need a doctor. And so he said, you know, it's not practical for you to sleep here now because this was around 1 a.m. at night. So he then prescribed a very strong painkiller that would help me sleep as well, that I needed from the pharmacy. So I drove around that night alone, by the way, to went to the pharmacy, 24-hour drugstore, got the painkillers and went home and I slept. So before I slept, I then sent my parents a message and I said, you know, this is what happened. The pain is now intense. It's too much. So I just went to see a doctor. So please, I'm going to sleep now. I don't know how long this drug will be. Will have me sleeping, but this is what I did. So I went to a hospital. I'm back home and I'm sleeping. So the next morning I was woken up by my mother when she was calling me and she said, you know, it's been long overdue. I know you do not like doctors, you don't like hospitals, but I think it's time for you to at least listen and get a proper diagnosis. So from there, that's when I then went to see a specialist. So it was a night of pain that then led me to actually go and see a doctor.
Now you see this doctor and the doctor says something. What did the doctor tell you?
So when I went to see the doctor, he examined me again. So apparently, it was not just constipation. It was not just, I was not just bleeding. It looked like I had, there was a boil. Okay, that's what the doctor said. There was a boil, I think two boils even around my the anal area. And so they burst. And so it was the wound, the area was actually becoming infected and septic. And this is something that I didn't know because I couldn't see it visually. So the doctor says, I can see that, you know, there's an area that's probably getting more infected. And if we are not careful, this will become septic. And he started explaining what happens with septic shock and what happens with such infections. So he needed to do an operation right away. And so I said, you know what, it's okay. Please, let's do this. Because by then, the only position that I could be in was lying down on my stomach. I couldn't sit back. So yeah, in that moment I made the decision, please do the operation, do whatever you have to do because I can't take this anymore.
Yes, marvelous. So there you are. So she's talking about her experience with cancer initially and what happened thereafter. So we'll continue the story in a moment. Napasikhuluma intombazana uMaline Gazirai watholakala elomkhuhlane wemvukuzane. So ke limlalele lizwe ukuthi uthini kodwa khuluma ngakho ukuthi wayejala ukuya kuGoogle efika kudinga ebona ukuthi angazinceda yena. Kodwa uthi hayi abantu kumele bazincede marvelous. Hatsho ukuthi babe belokhu ukuthi bancedwe ngamadokotela. Hatsho ukuthi behambe kuboGoogle kumbe ngaphi ngaphi otherwise bangalimala. Kunjalo.
Aiwapo tiri kunzwa kubva kuna muzvare Maline Chezadzirai vari kutaura kuti ivo vasati vaenda kuna chiremba vaimboshandisa zvinoitwa nyanya nevechidiki zvekushandisa Google kuti uone kuti chii chiri kukurwadza uyezve kuti zviri kufamba sei. Saka vari kuti asi vakazowanikwa ivo vaakutadza kurara kana kutadza kugara uyezve pane pakamboenda kuZambia vaenda nebasa vasvika ikoko vakasvikorwadzikana chaizvo zvakaita kuti pavakadzoka kuZimbabwe vazoti kuitirwe ndiende kunoonekwa nachiremba. Asi vari kuti pavakasvika kuna chiremba akavapa iye mapiritsi ekuti vasanyanyonzwa kurwadziwa. Asi vakazodzokera zvakare ndopavakaudzwa kuti vakange vaine mamota maviri akange aputikira uyezve vaida kuti vawanikwewo vachiitwa operation vachizowanikwa vachiudzwa zvakare kuti chii changa chiri kuvanetsa panguva iyoyo. Saka ndonyaya yavari kuenderera mberi vachitaura kuti zvakazofamba sei. Vakati mai vavo ndimukoti, saka ivo vachikura vaitya chaizvo kubayiwa jekiseni. Asi panguva iyi mai vavo nekuona mwana nekurwadziwa kwaanga ari kuita vakazoti ai tinofanira kuti tichienda kuna chiremba mazvikokota anoongorora nenyaya dzakaidadai sedzao kusangana nadzo vanyatsoona kuti chii ukwanise kuwana kuti uwanikwe iwewe uchiwanwa kurapwa mune zvauri kurwadziwa nazvo. Izvi kwete kuti ungoti chete paunenge warwadziwa womhanya kuchipatara. Asi ngatiendai kuna mazvikokota. Saka ndonyaya vari kutaura vachitaura ivo kuti zvakakosha kuti vanhu vavhenekwe kana usinge uchinge usiri kunzwa zvakanaka, kwete kuti uende kunoshandisa Google sezvinoitwa nevazhinji.
Yes, marvelous. Let's continue on with your story. Here it comes.
So I spent 7 days in hospital just, you know, recovering from that surgery, while also the tests were being done at the lab. And after I left hospital, my doctor then called me about 3 days later and said, can you come through to my rooms? So, you know, in that moment, I felt like, you know, something was wrong. If everything was okay, I don't think he'd have called me in. This was me. And so he says, you know, let's meet tomorrow. I didn't call my mom. She was at work. By then, I'd gone back to stay with my parents. I called her, and then she said, okay, we'll go and see the doctor tomorrow. We'll go together. But this was in the afternoon, and you know what? I just got into my car, drove all the way to the doctor's rooms and said, you know what, doctor, I'll wait for you to finish your current surgery. Please. I was so anxious, and I wanted to know what was it, what had come from the lab. And so I waited for about an hour. And after he was done, he then came through, and he was holding all these papers, and then he says, so I got your test results, and so I'm happy to actually say that at least now we know what the problem is. So I'm looking at him, and he's saying, I'm happy we know what the problem is, but still my mind was not settled. So he started, you know, giving me this medical jargon, and I said, doctor, I please just tell me what exactly you're talking about. And then he says, so I realized that you actually have colorectal cancer. And for me, the word cancer is what I heard. Everything else that he started talking about, whatever else he said, was just a blur. And so it was just cancer in my head. And in that moment, that's when I felt like my whole world had just crashed around me. It was the worst news ever. It was the worst moment of my life, if I can say that. And I was numb, and yet in that moment, inwardly, I froze. But then I realized, you know, the doctor was still talking to me. He's giving me names of different oncologists and says, you know what, because this is cancer, now I know I'm not sending you, for example, to just a gynecologist. This is an oncology issue. So he gave me different names and says, you know, these doctors, I know them well. They're going to take it from there. So the nurses came through and, you know, they were just okay. They were in a good mood. You know, I mean, you know, doctors and medical professionals, they're not people who are quick to panic around stuff because, I mean, they've seen it all. But then here I was, I'm the one who's told that I have cancer, and I've just driven myself to the doctor. I didn't know what to do. So I got out after finishing with the doctor, and I sat in my car, and I started crying. I cried for literally an hour or so, really crying, you know, heavy sighs, you know. I was run out of breath. There was a lump on my throat, and I didn't know what to do. So I then called my one of my best friends, and I told him. Then I said, I've just been diagnosed with cancer, and I don't know what to do. And so he said, so have you called your mom? And I said, no, I don't want her to know because I don't want to stress her. By then, I didn't understand the gravity of this. And so my friend is like, no, I think you're actually already in panic mode. There's no way you're going to keep a cancer diagnosis away from your parents. And I said, no, I'll be fine. Let me handle it alone. You know, over these last years, you know, remember I was on painkillers, so I can handle this. I don't want them to know. I didn't want them to stress. But then my best friend, he did what he did, called my mother, and yeah, and so that's how my parents got to know. It was my friends who told my parents, and because I just didn't know what to do. So, you know, the first few moments were tough, Gibbs. It was, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then it was the time for you to start treatment from then onwards. Tell us your story.
So when I picked an oncologist, I went to see him. And because after I told my surgeon, the specific oncologist I chosen, he then sent my medical information to him. I went in to see him, and so he started taking me through, you know, what is colorectal cancer, what happens, what exactly is cancer, you know, with the diagrams and stuff. And you know, I was looking, and I said, you know, I just want to know. So at what stage am I? How long do I have to live? And you know, he was quite amused by that, and he said, you know, that's not how we're dealing with cancer these days. Cancer is not always about, you know, you have 3 weeks to live or you've got 3 months or 6 months to live. Let's walk the journey together. And the first thing he said to me was, I need you to want to live. Well, I'm here so that I journey with you, but your willpower is what I'm going to bank on. Your willpower and God. And he said, you know, the ultimate decision lies with God. But I am here as, you know, someone who's going to be a catalyst towards this. But I need you to walk with me in this journey because I was a mess. I was a total mess. So he started explaining like I see it. And, you know, and one thing that hit me was, no, this is colorectal cancer. Colon cancer is more common in 50-year-old men. And so I was sitting there in his office and said, no, but doctor, I'm only 33. I'm young. I'm a black African woman. What is this? And he says, no, don't worry. You know, it's common in others, but then you're probably the minority. And so we then went through the treatment plan, had to go to the radiology center, talking to the radiographers. They came up with a treatment plan where I needed both radiotherapy and chemotherapy, wrote down the number, the list of the medication that I needed. So while all this was happening, my family was like, why don't you go to South Africa? Why don't you go to India? But then my doctor then came through and said, you know what, this she's at stage 3B. And, you know, at one point he said, you know, this is basically a polite way to say this cancer is at stage 4, which is a critical stage. So because she can't even sit properly, and the pain that she is in, it would really be unfair for us to just put her on a plane and she goes maybe to South Africa or India. Because by then, I knew nothing about, you know, the alternative treatments, the hotel stay, which doctor, which hospitals. I had no idea. So I just said, you know, let's do this in Zimbabwe. But what I didn't really know was the cost of treatment, how much it was going to be. So that's how we then sort of started the journey of treatment and getting to understand what radiotherapy was and chemotherapy. I also had to sign a consent form. Which I only now understand why I had to sign that, because of the side effects that come also with treatment. So, yeah, basically that's how we started the treatment journey.
So now, in terms of treatment, what actually did you go through? Where did you go and how was it, you know, in terms of treatment?
So in terms of treatment, I needed both radiotherapy and chemotherapy. So with radiotherapy, initially we wanted the option of a public hospital, that's Parirenyatwa. So when I went there, unfortunately, one of the machines was not working. The other one was sometimes working, so there was quite a long waiting list. And for any cancer patient, a waiting list or waiting period of even a month or a day sometimes is just too long, a waiting period. And I remember the staff, they told me, they said, you know, sometimes we have a waiting list for people for up to even 6 months. And so my doctor said, you know what, we have to go the private route. So we then opted for the OncoCare option, OncoCare in Harare, Newlands. And so this is for radiotherapy. So basically radiotherapy, before the radiotherapy started, the radiographers had to know the positioning of where the cancer was, which is in the colorectal area. And so what happened is they put little tattoos, tiny tattoos, black dots, you know, I'd get sort of a small injection and they put in black ink. So on either side of my hips, just at my groin and at my lower back. So the four different positions. So these things were, these little tattoos were to align
the powerful rain that would come from the radiation. Why is the sub whatever chili? Savelo Utimova, Baza Kala, Nako Konok. Kutake so Utai, Pelabantu, now to Sulen to Enge, Kumelu Chelamanaband. The Chelamas Alibaco, Lavava Chene. Jalo to answer to therapy, the chemotherapy, Jalo opera the consent form. You go to us with Aleni, Kumenza Hala, Kuaz Wakonokoti, Kubakona. So Kulaban in Jalava visit to Umele, I in the Akumbe Kapi, I will like to water not I, Nzahlala kona pe Zimbabwe, ngizama kuti ngelatshwe kodwa kuti lapho ahamba khona eKaliseni, wayeparanato hospital, wathola imtshina efile. Wasekugcina esiya ku okubizwa ukuthi ayi-onko care eHarare khona ngale. Lapha ke bamenza khona okunengi, radiotherapy, uzobuya le chemotherapy. So kunjalo ke udaba lakhe. Siyaqhubeka njalo mamlasi.
Aiwapo tirikunzwa muzvare Chiedza vachitsanangura ivo kuti pavakazowanikwa ivo vachienda kuna chiremba anova specialist wecancer kana kuti chiremba wavo ndiye akazovataura kuti pane zvaanga atesta akaona kuti vakange vaine colon cancer, saka vakati ngavachienda kuna oncologist anova mazvikokota wechirwere checancer. Saka vari kutaura ivo kuti vakazowanikwa vachienda kuna oncologist uyu, asi pavakaudzwa nachiremba wavo kuti vane chirwere checancer, vakativo vakange vafunga kuti vachaenda namai vavo, asi vakatadza kurara manheru acho ndobva vazongoenda vakanoudzwa kuti vane chirwere checancer. Asi vakatadza kuti votaurira sei vabereki vavo, vakazobatsirwawo neshamwari yavo iyo yakazofonera amai vavo, vakavataurira kuti aiwa achiedza awanikwa iye aine chirwere checancer. Saka vari kuti ivo vachinge vaenda kuna chiremba uya wenyanzvi yecancer, vakange vachifunga kuti saka vowana vachirapirwa kupi, muZimbabwe here kana kuti kunze kwenyika, vabereki vavo vakambindi vati tovaendesa kuSouth Africa kana kuIndia. Asi vakazoona kuti nekurwadziwa kwavanga vari kuita zvanga zviri nani kuti varapirwe muZimbabwe, saka vati ivo vakatanga vachida kuti vanorapwa kuparirenyatwa, chipatara chiriparirenyatwa, asi michina yacho inoita radiology uyezve nechemotherapy nezvimwewo yakanga isiri kushanda. Saka vakazowanikwa ivo vachienda kunorapwa pane imwe private clinic, uko vari kuti ivo nyaya yemari inodiwa mukurapwa denda iri recancer yakavabvundutsa, yanga yakawanda chaizvo. Asi ndofunga vachaenderera mberi vachinyatsotsanangudza, nekuti tinoona kuti pane zvizhinji zvakaitwa nevanhu pasi rose vanovaziva kubatanidza mari yekuti vabatsirikane nekuwanikwa ivo vachipiwa zvavanga vari kuda kuti vawane zvikwanisiro zvekuti varapwe denda iri recancer. Saka regai tienderere mberi tichinzwa kuti vakazodii nekuti munhu akange audzwa kuti ane denda iri uyezve akange ari kutotya, nekuti vati dokta paakavaudza kuti mune cancer, vakavabvunza dokta kuti saka ndikasarirwa nenguva yakareba sei kuti ndishaye, asi dokta akati kwete, mazuva ano hazvisiri izvo zvatinoita, tinoshanda newe tichiona kuti tokwanisa kurwisa denda iri sei. Ndobva vazowanikwawo vachiti vakaenda paprivate clinic imomo muHarare.
So radiotherapy for me was Monday to Friday, every Monday to Friday. So the positioning, every time my positioning was very strict. So sometimes I actually take more time being positioned on the radiotherapy table. So where the tattoos were, that's where the rays were supposed to sort of cross each other, because the radiotherapy is more about the rays focusing on the specific area where the cancer is located, where the cancer tumor or tumors were. So that's what radiotherapy was all about. So I'd get in, we'd register our names, all the cancer patients, sit around, knit. There was always something to knit, or, you know, just, you know, we'd just chat with each other. When it was my turn, I'd get in, lie on my back, the radiographers, three or four of them, making sure that, you know, the rays are specifically at the little tattoos that I had, because they're focusing on one area. So for 15 to 20 minutes, the radiotherapy machine would go around me. So it was directly above me. There's a funny sound, buzzing sound. It would do for a few seconds, and then it goes to the machine goes round to the one side, to my side, focusing on the hip, and then it would go under me, and then come back and go again to the other side. So that was just for 15, 20 minutes. So that was the radiotherapy part. During the radiotherapy, within the room, a very cold room, I must say, I didn't feel anything when the machine would go around me every time. It's not a painful process. But in layman's terms, how the doctors explained this to me was radiotherapy is like an extreme sunburn. So only about a week into radiotherapy, I started having blisters all over, you know, because of the radiotherapy effect. And so that's what I had to go through with So those blisters had to be looked into, the whole area for radiotherapy to work. It's not supposed to have moisture. So I had to use specific ointments on the wounds. And the ointments were they would sting and they were itchy. And these are blisters. And remember, I also had that operation, the surgery, that determined where the biopsy came from. So even at that wound, right, I'd have the wound. And then through that wound, there were blisters that would come through. I wish I could draw a diagram to just show you how terrible it was. So while radiotherapy was going on, I also had to start on chemotherapy. So chemotherapy basically is injections or through injections or tablets. So this is oral. So chemotherapy would, you know, it would go through the whole body, like what happens with any tablets or any capsules, right? So what happens with chemotherapy? It's also looking at the cancer cells, the basis or the purpose of it is to target cancer cells and kill the cancer cells. But what happens with chemotherapy and why it's so tough on the body is that even the healthy cells are caught in the crossfire, where sometimes healthy cells are equally destroyed as the chemotherapy is trying to attack the cancer cells. So that's what was happening with my treatment.
So as time went on, you were always in and out of hospital, and how long did it take for you to go through all those, you know?
So in terms of radiotherapy, I needed 40 days, 40 sessions of radiotherapy. So sometimes I would, to be honest, sometimes I would call my doctor and just say, the pain is too much. I can't get up. I can't go for radiotherapy today. And so within that, maybe if I miss a day, he'd have to, you know, call me, talk to me sternly and counsel me about, you know, how tough cancer treatment was. And sometimes we'd just be on the phone. Sometimes I wanted to give up because chemotherapy as well, it was very tough on me. I lost a lot of weight from a nice 65 kg. I was down to 45 point something kilograms. And sometimes I hated looking at myself in the mirror without my hair. I actually cut off my hair because I was anxious about, you know, waking up and, you know, seeing chunks of hair falling out. So I didn't want that experience. I cut my hair. So it, in essence, it took 6 months. It was a treatment that spanned around 6 months.
Now, where are you today in terms of treatment?
Okay, so after I finished radiotherapy in 2020, chemotherapy as well. Chemotherapy I finished a few months later. And so what was happening from there, I have had to go through scans every 3 months. But within those 3 months, I also go for regular checkups with my doctor. They're looking at my iron levels, my blood count, just to check if, you know, there is no recurrence of cancer, because there is always a risk after cancer treatment, especially in the first 2 years of remission, for the cancer to come back. So my doctors are keeping a close just to see post chemotherapy and radiotherapy, I've had to start what is called hormone replacement therapy. So after radiotherapy, or the side effects of cancer treatment, some of them are long-term, some are short-term, and some of them are for life. So one of the side effects that I've had to contend with is premature menopause. So because of radiotherapy and the focus of those rays, it then affected my ovaries and my reproductive system, meaning that I always joke and say that radiotherapy fried my eggs. So because of that, I've gone through premature menopause. So now, because of that, my body has been in some kind of shock because of the side effects of both chemotherapy and radiotherapy.
So sesikona poke marvelous ukuthi sizwe ukuthi udaba lakhe luya ngapi siyamuzwa sulu yakhuluma ngokuthi ke waye sengani ucunteke inwele lokunye okuthiyeneyo ngenxa ye-radiotherapy lakunye khonoku ayekwenziwa so ukuthi ke kwangani kulobu buhlungu obuningi kwesinye isikhathi wayengasafisi lokuthi ayizuza i-radiotherapy i-chemotherapy kunjalo marvelous qhubeka
Yes, apo chikunzwa kubvakuna muzvare gadzira vachitsanangura ivo kuti kurapwa kwavakaita parizvino vari kutiona kuti kurapwa uku kunounzwawo zvimwewo nekuti vari kutaura kuti vanga vachinyatsotsanangudza kuti radiotherapy chii chemotherapy chii vachiti apo vainge vaenda kunoitwa radiotherapy nechemotherapy vaizowanikwawo vachibuda mapfundu nezvimwewo uyezve mishonga yacho yairwadza chaizvo paipi paunenge waisa mishonga saka ndozvimwe zvavanga vari kutaura vakati ivo vakatomira kuteedza pari zvino kunyange avo vachitiri vari musikana wechidiki asi nekurapwa kwavanga vari kuitwa neradiotherapy nezvimwe pari zvino vatopinda mune yatinotiiyo menopause vaguma nenyaya iyoyo saka ndozvimwe zvavari kutsanangura vachienderera mberi nehonorohondo yeupenyu hwavo kuti
ye kube njalo ke siqhubeke ngodaba lwakhe sizotuluya ngapi khonapho marvelous
so because of that menopause I start having hot flashes I think women who are around the ages of 50, 60 would understand what I'm talking about. But my hot flash is okay literally every 30 minutes, day and night. I have sleepless nights. I wake up sweating the whole time. So that was it was more annoying than anything because I would be trying to sleep. As I'm trying to sleep, you know, it's like a heat that comes, you know, like from the stomach area, your chest, and then it just comes through your face and neck, and you just start feeling really, really, really extremely hot. Not warm, but it's quite extreme. So because of that, and even my eating patterns have also changed. The foods that I'm now in that I can't take anymore. I'm also now lactose intolerant. So the next process has been hormone replacement therapy, where I take those medications once a day. It's called Premic, I remember, and one of my pharmacists assisted by helping by importing the drug from the UK. So that's what's happening now. So the hormone replacement therapy is trying to get my body back to normal somehow. In as much as now I'm also trying to, you know, sort of rebuild my body, eating clean, eating healthy, exercising even. But then because my hormones are all over the place and I would sweat, sometimes I couldn't eat, sometimes I can't sleep. So that's what the hormone replacement therapy is there to do, just to try and, you know, sort of regulate my body and make it realize that, you know, yes, it's premature, but then menopause has come, and so, you know, it has to adjust. So basically, that's what I'm going through. Painkillers, sometimes when I'm in pain, and just normal medication. I've also had to start antidepressants as well as of January 2021, because I was also now going through a dark phase. And so, and I sank into depression, so I'm also on antidepressants. So I'm about to celebrate 1 year in remission. And so what the doctors say, you can only say that you're cured of cancer 5 years into remission, because within these 5 years, it's still a red bone. The cancer can just come back.
So now the doctor actually delivered good news that you're in remission. Cancer was in remission. So tell us a bit about that good news at one stage.
So as I was going through treatment, the difference with let's say a painkiller for a headache and chemotherapy is that when you have a headache or when you have a cold, when you take pain tablets or you take medication for a cold, let's say even throat lozenges, for example, you start, you know, within a few hours you start feeling better. Your headache starts slowly going away. Right, that's the normal. But then with chemotherapy, the medication itself seems to be fighting against both you and your body and the cancer. So there's a war that's going on. I know there's a saying that says when two elephants fight, it's the grass that suffers. I was the grass because it was my body with cancer and chemotherapy coming through and trying to, you know, fight each other. But then I then started losing weight. I didn't have an appetite. I was throwing up. I was vomiting. I couldn't move around. I was losing my hair. And so sometimes I'd ask my doctor, what exactly is happening? Am I not supposed to be feeling better through this treatment? And yet I'm now feeling worse. I felt like I was now even more bedridden than when I was just having pain. But then that's what cancer is. It's because of its positioning or because of its properties. It's something that is really found deep, let's say, you know, within cells. It's troublesome cells that grow out of hand, because cells are supposed to grow progressively, but then there's just some cells that start, you know, growing exponentially, so they affect the whole body. So for us to treat that, it's not just a normal headache, it's not just an injection, you know, it's not a flu shot. So I was feeling worse and worse, and I felt like, you know, this journey is tough for me. What can I do? But I had to go on and on, because I had, you know, friends, I had a lot of support as well. So, you know, I felt like I owed it to everybody who was supporting me. And I also sort of had that fighting spirit in me, and I wanted to win against cancer. So after radiotherapy and chemotherapy were done, I had a very strong prayer, and I said, God, I don't want to go through chemo ever again. My room literally was felt like a hospital ward. And so it took a lot also for my doctors, my friends, my parents to really convince me to say, you know what, you know, let's fight, and let's fight at once, you know. So as I started healing, I moved back to staying alone, which many people were against, especially my father, saying, no, but you need at least a year or two. But then I'm like that, stubborn, independent. And also, I said, and so luckily my mother was like, you know, she needs that kind of rehabilitation. She needs to see if she's able to even cook for herself, because I was now just literally, I felt like a cabbage. I couldn't do much for myself. My brothers were the ones who were cooking for me. When I was deep in treatment, my mother is the one who would bath me, dress my wounds and everything. So when I moved back, I wanted to, you know, to start, you know, growing again, start being independent, start, you know, depending on myself again. So that's what I started. That was the first thing. I started exercising as well, just to try and keep myself fit, in as much as my goal is to at least gain a bit more weight to get to where I was. I started doing that. And then because of that, and because I shared my story on social media, I started getting a lot of messages from different people. You know, people would come to me and say, you know, I have a lump. Do you think it's cancer? And I'd say, no. You need to go and see a doctor. Don't be like me. And so I became that example. I became a personification. I was not the model patient. I was not the model person. I am one of the people who actually got their cancer diagnosed when it was at a very critical stage. And yet I'm thinking, if I had gone to see a doctor and sought a diagnosis, that cancer would have been caught maybe at stage one. And so the intensity of this treatment maybe would not have happened. Maybe I would have a chance of having a baby, which I don't have anymore because of the menopause that I'm now going through, coming from the side effects from the treatment. So I started talking to different people and going to the extent of, you know, saying, let me book for you. Let me talk to this doctor for you. And sometimes I'd actually just go to my oncologist rooms, sit with patients and start talking and laughing and joking with them. So that's part of my healing, being a catalyst, trying to understand, what are you going through? I am here. I understand what you're going through. Because sometimes as human beings, if someone has not been in an accident and you're in an accident, you feel like no one understands. You feel like the whole world doesn't understand. I felt that when I was going through cancer, when, you know, people would say, no, don't worry, we understand what you're going through. But I was like, no, you don't understand what cancer is. This is painful for my side. So I've then started talking to people. If you have cancer, let's talk. And I'm able to joke with you and say, oh, so how many times did you throw up today? I understand. Are you going through diarrhea, or is it the constipation effect? And so people then are free to talk about, you know, some of the stuff. So those are some of the things that I'm doing. Like I've mentioned earlier, I'm there, I'm analyzing sport, I'm analyzing football games, Formula One. I'm trying to just keep myself busy to try and be on the positive side. I didn't mention that I went through depression. I'm still trying to get over it. Yeah, because I felt like at some point I really couldn't mourn myself, and you know, when the reality set in that I'll probably never have a child, I started questioning God and saying, so I fought this cancer only to spend the rest of my life alone, without a child, without a husband. So I started sinking in sadness and started feeling worthless. But then I then had to sit with my doctor, my advisors from church, my friends as well, and, you know, try and step out of it and snap out of it. And then I then have been trying to just, you know, occupy my time and trying to stay positive.
And at one stage, you were actually wrapping your hands on elephants and, you know, when you are going to work, you are always singing or listening to music. How soothing is that? Yeah. How soothing is that?
So I just started that as a fun thing. So I realized, you know, how do I start my day? So the first thing I do is obviously when I wake up, I have a Bible verse that I look at. My faith was shaken. And I'm working on my spirituality. I'm not going to be one of those people who say, you know, God is good. I just felt, you know, the presence of God. I was angry with God. I was furious. And so I felt like I'm trying to get back that relationship, you know, with God and trying to get back on my spirituality. I have a boxing session for an hour. I got into boxing. And then when I'm driving to work, I have to set my mind. So what have I started doing? I sing karaoke the whole way to work. I'm jovial. So the way I start my day, it affects the rest of my day, how my day will go mentally. It's something that I didn't necessarily read about, but then self-help books, that's exactly what they talk about. You have to sort of own your mind, or else it will own you. Because if I'm to let my mind do that, it's going to start telling me about, you know, the things that I can't do anymore, you know, the cancer, how my body had to fight, how everything had to go on. And then, like you're talking about elephants, that's my totem. I am a Mandlovu. So that was my first time being so close to an elephant. In as much as people around me are looking at this humongous animal, I felt a connection. I felt like, ah, this is my relative. So feeding elephants, it was actually a work trip. And that was really, it felt good. I also held a python. I understood what cold-blooded meant. I started, you know, sort of stepping out of my fears. I've gone on a zip line as well, something that a normal me pre-cancer would not have done. But then I realized, no, this life has to be lived. So it's soothing. Every time I wake up, I know this is another chance. Because also gives along the way, they're friends that I talked to. They're people that I made connection with. Some of them died.
That's her story, Marvelous. I think, you know, she has said what she has said. And at the end of the day, I think she's actually telling people that, you know, cancer is one kind of a disease that you can conquer, you know. And okunye kwangkhona sibe nje ukuthi yena wabona ukuthi ngcono ancede labantu abakhona ngale ke ezibhedlela. Ayikhuluma labo ngokutsho kwakhe, ukhuluma ngokuthi uyi-catalyst yokuthi kulomunye umuntu omfonelayo athi gazirayi kule qubu lapha emphinjeni ngingathini ikensa kumbe kuyini, abesemcebisa ke nokuthi uyasuza amafoni amaningi avele ebantwini lapha Marvelous. Akhulume labo abantu abacebisa ukuthi kumele kuhambe njani. So lakathesi-ke uthi usesenza loko kuthiwa i-boxing, so uya-exercise, ushaya i-boxing, lokho yi-commentator ye-football. Ungabuza nge-Real Madrid and u-Arsenal and other teams, uyakutshela inside out, you know, iDimbare and so forth, Highlanders, all those, she's a football kind of person. And then at the same time uthi wakangena loko kuthiwa i-depression. So i-depression yangkhona kwakusenziwa umkhuhlane wonalowo, uthi umkhuhlane wasumtshaya sibili uzwe ngani impilo ayisahambi kuhle, kodwa ukuthi wacela nje ezuza abantu abangamncedisa. So uthi sonke isikhathi ufuna ukuthi abe kulokho kuthiwa i-positive side. So nxa sesiya-ke emsebenzini uhambe ehlabela, ule ngoma zakhe azitshayayo, utshaya umajayivana, utshaya umtukutsi, ushaya lenye imusic etshiyeneyo. So uyabe ezihlabelela laye wenze ukuthi azitshiye apho. Then kuzobuya-ke okunye Marvelous abhekane lakho Uti wakukawa nguti, umlimi msemchili. So she started questioning umlimi uti, kambe God, why ungichia ngeto? So uti katesu ya zamu uti, arikonsale umlimi, wanze tinto zimuhambele uti. So upi ndo wakuluma nukuti, why bambildovu, mbwene lapane bambildovu. So uti yena, istemo sake, nisakondovu. So uti this big animal, mwabandu wikangili, wabona nga ninjanjan, kota wezwa umoya waki, ungena endovini. Okunye njalo ke uthi abantu kumele balimuke ukuthi kumele benze empilweni njengoba impilo iba kanye kuphela marvelous lokuthi wangabamba inhlathi Python wazi ukuthi i cold blooded thing kuyini ukukanda kwaye uthi ayibambe khonapho so kunenge asitela ngakho khonapho ke ukatsela
Aiwa potanga tukunzwa muzare chiedza vachitaura ivo pamusoro pe zvakataura kuti ivo mushure mekunge vaenda vachinorapa chirwere ichi mazuvano vakatoona kuti aiwa upenyu ndewe kurarama saka vakuwanikwa ivo vachienda vachinobatsirawo vamwe vanenge vawanikwa vachinzi vari kufungidzira kuti vane chirwere ichochi kana chimwewo zvimwewo zvirwere zvekensa pari zvino vakatoenda ku game park uko vakanosvona nzuu yavanotiwo mutupo wavo vakawanikwawo zvakare vachienda uko kunoita zip lining vari kuti ivo zvakavakoshera kuti vararame upenyu hwavo zuva nezuva uyezve vachifara kana vachienda kubasa vanenge vari kuridza mimhanzi uyezve vari kutaura ivo kuti chiri kuita kuti vararame zuva nezuva vachifara ndechekuti vakatombosvika panguva yavaibvunza kuti mwari kusei makandiregererawo kuti ndiiwanikwe ndiri kubata nechirwere ichi nekuti pari zvino vari kuti ivo nekurapwa kwavakaita havachakwanisa kuti vakwanise kunge vachiita mwana uyezve vanga vachichema chema vachiti ndakatombowanikwa ndichidzokera kumashure mukuwanikwa muchitendero asi vari kuti mazuva ano pese pavanomuka vanoverenga vhesi remubhaibheri uyezve vane vanhu vekukereke kwavo vanouya vachitaurawo navo uyezve vachibatana navo vachiwanikawo vachiva tsigira mune zvese zvavanenge vari kuita nyanya pamusoro pekuti vabvunze mibvunzo iwayo yekuti sei vakawanikwa vachibatwa nechirwere ichochi saka ndo zvimwe zvavanga vari kutaura ipo pano vachitaura zvakare kuti zvakakosha kuti vanhu vasafunge kuti vari vega pakurwisa denda iri cancer uyezve vari kuti ivo pari zvino ndo basa ravari kutoita vanotomboenda kuzvipatara kana kwadhokita wavo vachinotaurawo nevamwe vanenge vawanikwa vachinzi vabatwa nechirwere ichi nekuti chiri kunyanyo vaita kuti vakwanise kushinga ndechekuti vamwewo vanhu vavaiziva vairapwa munguva yavairapwa vamwe vavo vakatoshaya asi ivo mwari akavapa yatingati second bit paupenyu saka vari kuti izvi zviri kuita kuti ivo vagowanikwawo vachibata zuva nezuva vaka vachiri koshesa kuti vawanikwawo ivo vachienderera mberi mukurwisa denda irori recancer vari kuti zvakare chiremba vavo vakavaudza kuti zvinotora nguva yakaita se5 years kuti vazonyatsoziva kuti havachazowanikwa vaine kensa iyi here asi pari zvino denda iri rakambovasiya uyezve vari kuenderera mberi vachinwawo mimwe mishonga inobatsira pakuwedzera yavanga vari kutaura kuti hormone replacement yavari kutaura iyo kuti ndo zvimwe zvavanga vari kunwa mapiritsi mamwe avanowanikwa vachitowanikwa vachitengwa kunze kwenyika mafamasi wavo vataura mazita acho nezvimwe zvakadaro asi ndo zvimwe zvavari kuti ivo zvakare vakatotora mutambo weboxing kuti vawanikwe ivo vachisimbisa miri nekuti vari kuti pari zvino munhu agara achiita zvemitambo basa ravo nderekutoita nyaya idzi dzemitambo saka vanotoenda kune penyuro dzakadai sedziri munyika vachienda kunoita basa rekutepfenyura nhau dzemitambo
kunjalo kwemavhela sesisuke ke emapetroleni ohlelo lwethu lwanamhlanje lapha kate silo imalini chiedza katsirai yena olo mkhuhlane wecancer so ke hayi we thank Malini Chiedza Katsirai. She was our scoop today, let's put it that way. She was a person who actually expressed, you know, her willingness to tell us her story. So signing off from Maryland, this is Gift to be saying good night, Zimbabwe.
We'd also like to thank Ingrid Muhambi, a nurse from North Carolina, Zimbabwe, and living here in the United States. for also sharing her story about getting COVID-19 and also taking the COVID-19 vaccine. This is Marvelous Nsanganya here in Washington.
Good night.